Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Yes, it is. Morena Kirsten.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. This is going to be weird because we're going to be doing nighttime music in the morning.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it, though. I've been feeling a little bit nocturnal this week, so I'm ready to sort of, like,
that's cool.
Hone in on the nighttime vibes. Hopefully, you know, we're not going to put anyone to sleep out there. It's not particularly relaxing music, I wouldn't say, even though it's sort of nighttimey.
But yeah, it'll be interesting for those of you in your cars and stuff, seeing how if this is driving music or not.
Yeah. So we're talking about lunapunk. Tell us a little bit about what lunapunk actually is.
Oh gosh, what a story. So some people will be aware that there's steampunk, cyberpunk, solarpunk, and you know, we could talk a lot about all of them, but it's, I'll start with solarpunk really because it's a sci-fi subgenre. And I mean, their aesthetics, gosh, I've had someone talking about them as philosophical systems and going into techno and crypto and Bitcoin. But anyway, a microgenre, a mystical brand. But so solarpunk was about the sun and the environment and a future where you do have technology, but we're so, you know, but there's still humans and nature and everyone's going well. And so this is like a subgenre of solarpunk. This is more, you know, nighttime, mystical, witches, anything with the moon, spirituality, safe nightlife. And I guess, you know, I'm just going to say it's sometimes, you know, when we do genre and stuff here, it might seem like a playlist or just a playlist. But I was just reading this article that, you know, it's harder to have these sort of subcultures. Playlists are a way of people online to operate, you know, because subcultures were very much face to face, people hanging out, dressing a certain way, you know. So none of these, so it's not a music genre. It's an aesthetic.
It's a lifestyle. And I guess
in our case, it's, you know, playlists, people creating playlists for a study, mostly these are called, to set a mood. But it's also, you know, got this heaps of visual aesthetics, literary aesthetic as well, and apparently crypto, some way of buying your crypto. But so these artists, I know, these artists wouldn't identify as lunar punk, but I don't think they'd mind sort of going into this. Do we want to play Aphex Twin?
Yeah, I reckon we should. Tell us a little bit about this track. I mean, lots of listeners will be familiar with Aphex Twin, but I wasn't aware that Aphex Twin necessarily fit under the umbrella of lunapunk.
Well, it's probably just this one track would then include, because he does such a variety. And so he's an Irish, British producer, composer, experimental IDM artist. I also read a good article that talked about how timeless his music is. And so, so here we're talking playlists in 2026 using these songs, you know, a song from 2006.
Let's have a listen.
Thank you.
is interesting when you listen to the music and you think about it under this umbrella of lunar punk, because like you say, it's not really a specific genre. Like, you could describe that as lots of different genres and sounds, and people probably do, but thinking about it within that sort of system of making playlists specifically for sort of studying, or and like having a real context in which that music is listened to, I guess sort of places the aesthetic over it.
Yeah, you know, and yeah, you could hear Moon in that if you wanted, you know, a glimpse into the future. And I guess it's, you know, audiences taking the music beyond the intention of the composers and playing with it in the way that they want it to. And, you know, I'm sure FX Twin as an artist, too, would be absolutely stoked, you know. And this song, well, sorry, this artist, he now has more monthly listeners on YouTube than Taylor Swift.
Wow.
So that's how like relevant what he does still is. And he hasn't released albums, you know, in the last decade.
That's pretty awesome.
There's just, yeah, a market. And I guess, you know, so the people have spoken, you know, this is something people need and want. And yeah, that's so interesting.
Where should we go next with our songs?
Let's do Hink Step, Moonwalk on Mushroom Street. He's a Swedish artist. Interesting history. Started off with rock, then metal, then drum and bass, then trip hop, then psychedelia. That's probably a journey. Some people, you know, end up in their bedroom, tired of playing in bands, and end up.
Yeah, I feel like you make enough music and you make enough noise that eventually you just make ambient music.
That's right.
Because you can't take anything else anymore. The track that we're going to listen to is Moonwalk on Mushroom Street. Great song title. I love that. Definitely that trip-hoppy sort of vibe in there that you can hear, eh?
Yeah, and I'm sort of feeling now, instead of contrasting it with solar punk, I'm feeling it more of a contrast to city pop, which is nighttime as well, and rainy streets, but it's so human and lights and bright and bustling, whereas this is, you know, a chill nighttime and, you know, mushrooms. Apparently some of the imagery is mushrooms, moths. And it's that combination with the past and the future, or, you know, because the moon is old and ancient, but also outer space, which is future, you know, so it's sort of got both, which again, I'm just now thinking that's so different than city pop, which is so present. Yeah, so, I mean, it's interesting. There is literature, 2023, a book called Lunar Punk, you know, collection of art and stories, art installations as well, it's expressed in. Something mentioned the Avatar movies, that sort of dark blue purples,
those
sorts of colors, grays.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking before when we started listening to this track, I wonder if there's something about, you know, the digital age that we're living in and the fact that we're so bombarded with information and sound. Like when we were talking about this artist who's made every type of music you can imagine and then eventually has settled on this lovely sort of ambient trip hop. I feel that in terms of listening to music, I get fatigue and then I often will just listen to ambient. And so I wonder if there's sort of like, you know, in the information age, people are drawn towards making these chill, you know, studying playlists because you need some downtime to like help your fatigue.
It's so interesting you say that because some of the things I read kept talking about how solarpunk is communal and building a new society and lunarpunk is individualistic.
Mm.
And so that's sort of what you're saying is when you do want a little break to be alone. But it's so, I think it's interesting too how, you know, you get super electronic-y music, but we still have ways of making them so human, you know, still having
nature
sort of quality to it. It's not completely technological and sort of robotic that we still, it can still reflect the natural world so much. And I guess, you know, you're talking about sort of introspection and
100%. Someone's texted in wondering whether Thievery Corporation would fit within this sort of realm of lunar punk.
Well, you know what? Because this is an engaging subculture, you'd have to, I guess, put it out there in your playlist and see how people, you know, argue, respond, debate, and go, no, that's not it. Oh, yeah, that's great. And, you know, sort of, I love watching that happen online, how the community sort of, you know, just live in front of your, you know, in front of your eyes. We've seen cyberpunk, lunarpunk, steampunk, you know.
Yep.
Watching rise and fall.
For sure. Okay, now, I guess when I first read lunarpunk on the email, my thought went to Minecraft music, which I guess...
Really? Okay, so you knew that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't actually know much about lunarpunk, but just sort of reading it and thinking about what it could be, I was like, oh yeah, maybe Minecraft music sort of realm makes sense definitely within that, like, chilled out computer music of a specific sort of group of people.
Well, yeah, so I got, you know, a lot of lists have this C418 Minecraft soundtrack. It's considered one of the greatest video game soundtracks of all time.
It's pretty awesome.
Also it reminded me of a word, because most of your listeners might know this, of sandbox video games.
Yeah.
And I guess we've all grown up in an era where they that's how they are, but it was still sort of newish at the time to have these drifting ones where you just go around and go into pockets. It's like, oh, I have to finish this race. And but yeah, so this is iconic as far as video game music. But then I guess now we're going to listen to it put in this aesthetic space, mystical brand of lunar punk.
Yeah, well, I know a lot of people who sort of love this record, like this album, as a ambient record in its own right and own it on vinyl and like don't really even associate it as much. I mean, obviously it's Minecraft music, like, you know, it's got that nostalgic feeling about it, but I do think that there are a lot of people who love to just listen to this.
Well, yeah, imagine, you know, as a composer, you know, where are you going to compose? You know, it's a perfectly legitimate space to, you know, write music for.
For sure. Okay, well, we're going to leave on this beautiful track called Minecraft from Minecraft Volume Alpha by C418. Thank you so much, Kirsten, for another great Travelling Tunes. I'm into this lunar punk thing. I think I need to investigate more. Have an awesome week, and we'll catch up with you next Friday.
Okay. All right, bye.
Was Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.